Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Pitch Podcast. This is Dale Ratcliffe with Codeology, and a lot of you know us more through our product, which is Pitch CRM. I've got Matt Wade with me today and
Hello,
Danny Ray.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, hello.
Hey, guys. So we've got a topic that I think is really near and dear to a lot of golf course operators' hearts out there we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about how to grow and own your database. And this is something we've got a lot of clients, not just here in the States, but around the world that use our software. And one of the real common things that we see is they struggle with getting the profiles into their system. They struggle with collecting that email information. So we want to talk with you about what we think are the four best ways for you to collect that information. And each one of them has some challenges to it. I've got my personal favorite of those four that I'm going to talk about. Actually, I kind of got two that I favor a little bit, I think, here. First one that I want to kind of throw out there, and this is what, if you go to a lot of the seminars that we have at a lot of our annual meetings and conventions that we have across golf, you hear this a lot, and that's so important to collect that information. If somebody comes up to the counter, you need to get their email. Well, there's some inherent challenges with that. You know, right. you've got a line of golfers in front of you, the phone's ringing off the hook, and you know, a lot of times it's just not convenient to be able to take that information right then. So we do, however, have some courses that have been successful with it. And Danny, I want you to kind of talk a little bit about, you know, you've had some real good conversations with those clients that we've got that have been successful at it. Tell me, what is it that they do? How do they do it?
There are several different ways, but we'll start with this one. Joking earlier, one of our operators, leaving the names out to protect the innocent, when I asked him, because he has, when I look at the tee sheet, which we can do through straight through Pitch, I just see this tee sheet's just full, like every name, every email address. So I asked this gentleman, you know, how do you make that happen? And he said, well, don't forget, you know, they work for me. So you know, we joke and we laugh about that. But the truth is that he just simply sets that expectation that the way we do it at this golf course is when golfers come in, we make sure that we get their name on the tee sheet. We get their email address. And, you know, one of the reasons that he mentioned that, you know, I never really even thought about was safety.
Yeah.
Or if someone needs to get in touch with someone, we need to know who's on our golf course. But then that brought up the whole thing. We need to know who's on the golf course. But for our purposes and what we do in marketing, that one name, email address on the tee sheet for marketing purposes is limitlessly valuable. Right, because it allows us future marketing opportunities to people who we currently didn't even know.
Right.
So, exactly. How many golf courses around the world have people walking in every single day or playing 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times a year that wasn't the person who initially booked the tee time? Their information never gets put on the tee sheet or never even gets put in the database. They could represent hundreds of thousands of dollars collectively as a group of people that the golf course never knows who's coming and going. So when we were talking earlier, what I did was I looked at the value at a $40 round of golf. If you add 300, let's call it 300 email addresses to the database every single month, that's about 3,600 a year.
Yeah.
That group alone represents $144,000 in future remarketing opportunity if they just played one round of golf.
Yeah.
By themselves,
with not bringing anybody.
Yeah. Now break out your calculators and start doing that math. If you get more than 3,600 and or they bring someone that you also get into your database, now it's like what are those, you know, expanding circles?
Exponentially?
Yeah.
There you go. That's the word you're looking for.
Good. Yeah. Anytime David needs a big word, Matt, you jump in there and help him out, all right?
Thank you for the big word. So, yeah, it grows exponentially.
Yeah.
So if 3,600, and like I said before, that $288,000 very easily could be the low end number.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the value of those people on the tee sheet, if they played 2, 3, 4 times, whatever they might, the future remarketing opportunity is insane.
Yeah.
However, if you never get it, then you never know.
That's right. You don't have any chance.
And you don't have the opportunity to know that you got them back in.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that email address is the one direct communication line, not in a phone number,
but one direct communication line with your customers, whereas social media marketing, any other marketing type, you don't have that direct connection.
Right.
That's a really strong point there, Matt, too. And even if the phone, you can't pick up and call everybody directly, but you can with an email.
Exactly.
You
know,
you can go out to them directly with an email. And with the technology we have these days, you can even tailor that so specifically to the recipient. You know, I mean, that message can be so targeted to them based on, you know, when they play, when they last played, all of the different data that we've got in that system. But it really comes back to that key of tying it into that transaction.
It does. You know? And if you look at historically, you know, in my previous life in working for a big marketing company, golf courses were never a vertical that we went after.
Yeah.
Because historically, golf courses don't spend a lot of money in traditional advertising.
Yeah.
They're not buying billboards. They're typically not doing a whole lot of banner ads and, you know, probably social media ads.
Yeah.
Probably the most common.
Social media is a good one. And to Matt's point, it's not as targeted. You know, social media is still kind of a blast type. Now, you can do you can do some filtering of who you're targeting on social media, but I still don't think it's as direct as what you could do.
Because they do say right now, regardless of what's going on in the world, the most direct way, to Matt's point, to any customer that's doing business with you is right through that inbox.
So we've got our first method is just the old tried and true, collect that email when they check in.
Yeah, and on that, the staff collecting it, that is obviously one of the, it's a key method. You can't overlook it. But I'd like to throw out an alternative idea of, instead of your, whoever's checking them in at the counter, why not give your starter an iPad?
That's
where
they
fill out that information right then and there. Its starter has more time to do it in a conversationalist way than whoever's checking them in.
That's an awesome idea, Matt, because now, you know, and generally speaking, the starters have more time to interact with the golfers. You know, they don't, there is no transaction that has to take place at that point. In a lot of instances, once they've kind of told them what the rules are of the course and all of that, they're standing around waiting anyway. So it's a great time
for them. All four of them are right there together.
Yep, that's a great idea. And, you know, same thing goes for your beverage cart, too. You know, you should be training your beverage cart staff. Our systems, and I think most of them out there do, if you have an iPad on your beverage cart, you know, those staff members have direct access to the T-sheet as well.
Yeah.
You know, you can incentivize them to go back in and backfill any information that they get on those golfers. You know, if you see, you know, John Smith, and he's got three golfers that are guest, or whatever your default is in your system, you know, train their starter and your staff to try to get those names of those additional golfers, you know, so we can start marketing to them.
I would say that, like, I like the idea of my expectation as the owner operator is names and email addresses will be on the T-sheet.
Yeah.
But we're going to get, it really sounds great until you're the person behind the counter by yourself.
Yeah. Right.
The phone is ringing off the hook.
Yeah.
It's Saturday morning.
Yeah.
You've got 190 people on the T-sheet, and you are just doing everything that you can. And then, depending on how your operation's set up, someone needs help with a pair of shoes.
Yeah, right.
I mean, come on.
Well,
it's really difficult.
If it were easy or even moderately easy, I think by now we would see a much better collection of that information. I think that the majority of golf courses out there realize the value of it. They may not realize and put the numbers to it that you just put to it, okay? But they realize it's important that we collect that information.
Yes.
But it's also probably one of the most difficult tasks that we face to do it at the counter.
Yeah. And I would say that if you, you know, we always say this, like, is this something that you would like? Would you like every single owner and operator, every general manager, every golf pro would say, yes, we would like that.
Right.
But we have no clue how to do it.
That's right. We don't know how to do it.
We haven't figured it out.
And even when they do, they're having problems incentivizing the staff, or to your point, you know, it's too difficult for that. So
you're going to get pushback.
That's right. You're going to get pushback
when you're going from not requiring it to
there's ways you can use the, you know, you can use the whip, you can use the carrot and the stick strategy, you know, where you could even incentivize. Some of the MCOs do that. Some of the multi-course operators actually, you know, they're very serious about getting all that information, and they have metrics where they measure the percentage of, you know, the T-sheets that have the names on them and email addresses attached to those, and they base their bonus incentives on
that. Well, it's kind of part of optimization, right?
Right, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It really is. It's not just that you have X amount of tee times booked out of X number potential for the day.
Yeah.
Like, there's more to it than that.
That's exactly right. And particularly if you've got a strategy in place for remarketing to them.
And especially if you've got more than one golf course.
Yeah. that's when it really becomes important.
That's when it really gets big.
So let's move on to the second one. You know, that one is a valid one, obviously. I think we should never lose sight of that, and we should always do it. And there's some creative ways, like Matt said, you know, giving your starter an iPad, using your beverage cart with an iPad, you know, getting that information not just at the counter, but while those golfers are still on the property. But let's move on to one that we use quite frequently. We use it at our courses, and that is some type of a club or program or email marketing that the golfers actually sign up for themselves, you know. And that really, I think, of the next three that we're going to be talking about, of our four favorite ways of collecting the information, this one is one of the three that really employs the golfer putting that information in themselves. Yeah. Okay. What we have used with a lot of success, what a lot of our clients use, are the birthday clubs.
Yeah.
You know, you send them something on their birthday, because that gives you the incentive on the golfer's side to give you more than just their name and the address. You get, at a minimum, you get their name, their address, and the birth date. And, you know, then you can trigger your emails going out to them based off of that birthday. But there's a little bit of a downside to that, too, in that you have to offer them
some sort of discount, some sort of promotion.
Yes.
However, that one person who's coming for their birthday round, let's say it's a free round of golf, like your courses, doesn't have to be that big of a discount, but they're bringing two or three other people with them.
That's right.
How many people are playing golf on their birthday by themselves?
That's right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
And that was our strategy, you know, when we first started doing and giving that. And we see, Danny, you can kind of talk a little bit more about this. We see other not quite as aggressive giveaways as what we do. We actually give green fees and cart fees.
Yeah.
And they can redeem that within 10 days of their birthday. If their birthday is in our off season, you know, we're even lenient. We let them use it in season. We're not real strict on that. But tell me some of the other things you see out there that people use for incentives.
It really runs a gamut, from a free fountain soda or draft beer to buckets of range balls.
Free greens fee only. Yeah,
greens fee only is probably the most popular. Cart fee due in the course, so the golf course still gets something. If the golfer decides to walk and the course allows walking, then the golfer will play at no charge. And then, of course, yours, which is you get a round of golf. And the thought is, honestly, for a birthday round, the vast majority of people, to Matt's point, are going to bring someone with them.
Right.
They're typically off for their birthday. This isn't going to be I'm going to use this on Tuesday after work and get in nine holes.
That's right.
It's usually more of an experience thing.
Make the incentive big enough for them to sign up and join that club.
Right. Yeah. And it's
less about the discount. Believe it, we're not as big on discounting rounds of golf either, but it is very worth it in this scenario.
Yeah, it's like a payback.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think that's really what it is. You're not so much discounting as we are compensating them for giving us that information. You know, we're basically paying them to receive those emails. Now, one of the great things about a birthday club, and there are other ways to do this, you know, we do have people that have, you know, signed up for our email newsletter, which, by the way, that one has lost a lot of its appeal, I think, in recent years, because
they do well at private clubs.
They do very well at private clubs. Yeah, you know, I mean, private clubs, and that's, you know, one of their ways of communicating. But we've really seen social media take the place of newsletters out there. You know, people are running events, even at golf courses or other things. You know, it actually works better to do that in a social media environment than in the direct email through an email blast of a newsletter.
Think about this. In some ways, not to belittle the newsletter, because I know there's a lot of folks that
still use it. You should still do it. But my point is, the signing up, the incentive for people to sign up for newsletters is not as strong as it once was.
Yeah, because I think that we're in an age now to where people get information very quickly.
Right.
And the newsletter is like, I would say it's an older thought pattern to where it's like, we have to wait on what's going on. It's like, no, I know that you have the barbecue cookout this Saturday because you put it on social media and I see it right now.
Right.
Yeah. So, I would say that the newsletter has definitely lost some steam, but the birthday club has not.
No.
And part of the beauty of a birthday club is they are signing up themselves.
Yes, that's
right. Yeah, good point.
Creating a digital form, turning that into a QR code, and then publishing that everywhere throughout the facility.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scorecards, menus, everywhere.
One of the reasons I remember way back when we were discussing, do we add forms? You remember we had added tags, so we had a deeper way to segment our contact list other than player type, right, for golf.
Yeah.
Well, then when we added in the forms builder, that to me was a huge thing because now we can create these groups. Mm-hmm. We can create any group we want.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday dogfight.
Yeah.
Thursday women's wine and dine. Right. Weekend birthday clubs and all that stuff. It's such a great use. And if you're not, to Matt's point, so Matt had this idea last year. It was brilliant. Simple and brilliant was, how do we get people to sign up for the birthday club besides sending it out in an email blast?
Yeah.
Right? Because we want to use those more effectively than just that. It's a good way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But then Matt said, well, why don't we use Form Builder, why don't we just use the URL and put it in a clickable button there, and we can put in a QR code, and we just print out those posters for the golf courses and put them everywhere. Put them in the snack bar, the restaurant, the golf shop, everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm like, brilliant. Yeah. It's worked
amazingly well. You know, and that's something too. If you've got something like a birthday club or the next method that we're going to be talking about, you know, the QR code, do not underestimate the power of a QR code.
People being able to
click on that. Very simple. It's a lot easier.
All the cameras.
Yeah, I'll tell you one of the things that changed that. I was not a big proponent of QR codes. I liked them personally and everything, but people did not widely use QR codes. But you know one of the things that changed that within the last 2 years?
COVID, the menus.
COVID and menues.
Yeah.
You know, people did not, QR codes weren't really widely accepted. You know, you didn't see a lot of, I've seen a remarkable increase in the use of QR
codes.
It
is amazing.
Because people now, every time they see a QR code, you'll see them pull the phone up. You know,
and it used to be, almost died.
It really had. Because the other thing too, you know, there was a time when QR codes were first coming out, we were first using a lot of them, you had to have a QR code reader.
Correct.
As a separate app on your phone.
Now
it's built into the camera, you know, so it's a lot easier for people to use, and people are now much more accustomed to using it, because if you ate out any during COVID, you know, you used the QR code to get that menu.
I think you have to use them intelligently too. Yeah. Like, you're not, you can't just blast them up
That's
for
right.
everything.
Right.
Here and there. Kinda.
Yeah. But they've started using them in television shows as well.
Yeah.
Live broadcast. Well, they'll pause for a moment, put the QR code up on the screen.
Yeah.
All you have to do is shoot it with your phone, which is always within arm's reach.
Yeah.
That tells you how strong the QR code has become.
Right.
And the great thing about what most operators may not understand or not know is there are tons of places online that you can get QR codes at no charge.
Oh, yeah. You can get generators
all
over the
place. You don't have to pay free.
Now, you know, well, there's a lot of them, too. They're getting very creative with QR codes. You know, they're QR codes that even have logos embedded in them or images embedded in them. I mean, there's all kind of ways you can get creative with QR codes. So that's, our second way, which is using some type of a promotional thing like a birthday club that incentivizes the golfer, your target audience, to sign up and give you their information. I want to talk a little bit about the third way, which has really been for many years now an integral part of what we use at our golf courses, which is our loyalty program.
Yes.
Okay. So loyalty program is really kind of another extension of the birthday club. It's different in some ways because ours is actually a paid loyalty program. We charge them to join we call it a membership, but it really is just a loyalty program. We have a minimal annual fee. You know, we charge $50. And for that, in exchange, they do get a discounted amount on every round that they play. They get some other incentives and everything for it. They get to earn loyalty points, which are kind of like frequent flyer miles. But one of the really strong things about that is we get that information. You know, when they sign up for that, they give us everything. You know, we get their name, their address, their phone number, their email address, you know, the birth dates. All of that information is brought in as a loyalty club member. So loyalty clubs are loyalty programs are very important. A lot of places do them and don't charge at all for them. You know, you can sign up for free. I think that one of the challenges is making sure if you use a loyalty program that you've got a really good strategy for what you're trying to achieve with it.
Yes.
You know, because if you don't, if you're just doing a loyalty program to do a loyalty program, it's not going to be as successful.
Yeah. And I think it just becomes like a discounted golf.
All right. It becomes a discount program. You know, and I'll tell you a great example. You know, there's a number of chains and keeping with Danny's of, you know, not using names to protect the innocent. We got a number of grocery chains right here in our area that have these loyalty programs, and you can go in a lot of them. And if you get up to the counter and they say, do you have your loyalty card or whatever their, you know, MVP or whatever it might be, card, okay, if you say no, they'll just pull theirs out and ring it up to give you the discount.
Which completely defeats the purpose of
absolutely the whole thing. Defeats the purpose, you know. But the reality is, you know, if you've got some type of loyalty program, there needs to be a little skin in the game. That's why I like to have them pay for it. You know, if it's free and there's nothing out of their pocket for it, you know, it does just become a discount program.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the having to pay for it is key.
Yeah.
It's a huge part of that.
But that's something, again, it's just, you know, that goes against what a lot of our clients don't really like, the idea of charging for a loyalty program. And they give them for free, and that's fine, you know. But again, coming back to our main point, loyalty programs can be a huge way of collecting that information.
Yes.
You know,
and because, they can be really simple.
Yes, it really does. Does not have to be anything fancy. You know, I mean, it could even be, we've seen loyalty programs that are really basically just punch cards.
You know.
Mm-hmm. You play 10 rounds and get a round free.
It has to be, and this is the, I cannot stress this enough. It has to be digital.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, absolutely right.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know we laugh about that, but it can't be an actual punch card.
Right.
It needs to be a digital punch card.
And I'm gonna tell you, I'm showing my age here anymore. I don't even think about the physical punch cards anymore. I don't know if anybody's using.
No,
you know, we've got and within our software and within the software that we use at our courses, you know, we have what are in essence digital punch cards in there. You know,
right.
And that's what you do. Packages.
Yeah. The reason behind the loyalty program from the operator's perspective should be at minimum to get more data.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, at worst, you're going to exchange out the loyalty program and you're going to give your frequent shoppers something, but in exchange, you get their information that you can then use to remarket to.
And you know, Danny, I think that you're skimming on something I think that's really important there too, that we point out. You know, the connection between collecting the data and the remarketing is obvious. You know, everybody understands the value of, hey, if I've got an email address, now I've basically got a free way that I can communicate with my clients, okay, and my golfers and my customers. I have the ability now to market to them. But there's another thing too that's really inherent in that, and that is taking that information and tying that customer to the transaction.
Correct.
You know, we talk about this a lot internally here, because for us and for those of you who are new to the podcast and new to our software and our philosophy, you know, we're really based on the transaction. When that data capture happens is good, but we also have to really tie that to the transaction, because that's what really matters. Making that cash register ring is that's what the ultimate goal of any of our marketing efforts is, you know, to get that transaction to happen. And so if we can tie that customer information to that transaction, it opens up all new worlds for us. And
we can tie it to every transaction.
And with the loyalty club, your customers want to give you, do you have my loyalty number?
That's right. Yes, that's exactly right, Matt. You're incentivizing them to make sure that they are tied to that transaction, because that's how
they won't let you forget it.
They will not. They will insist that you add it to theirs.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, we have at Ratcliffe, I've heard from golfers that refuse to go to other golf courses and play because they want to get their points.
Absolutely right. Yeah.
I can tell you that there are certain restaurants that my wife and I go to that we frequent because we get points.
You got points and you're earning
them. And I earn those points and I can see them online.
Yeah.
And
sure.
I get free stuff, and I like free
stuff. You like free stuff. Everybody likes free stuff. Well, you know, I mean, Marriott was the standard and still is kind of the standard bearer on the loyalty programs. They've done it so well, you know, and there are literally people, I've heard stories. I remember hearing one story from a guy who was with a competing hotel chain, and his brother was coming to visit with him, and he stayed at a Marriott, even though this guy had one of his own hotels right there that he could have stayed at for free, his
gotta
brother,
get my point.
Because he was trying to save up enough points for a vacation in Hawaii, you know, and he
my
wasn't going to go.
Hawaii.
I would rather pay to stay at this hotel than to stay at your hotel for free.
Because I want
that. How powerful is that?
That's
very powerful.
That's loyalty.
That is loyalty.
It's like,
that
you know, some people, not to get us off topic, but, you know, people think sometimes loyalty is a repeat customer. Loyalty is a customer that will not do business with anyone but you.
That's right. That is loyalty. And that's what you're trying to achieve with the loyalty program. So let's talk about, we're getting long in our time here. Let's talk about our fourth and probably my favorite way of collecting the information. I do like the loyalty program, obviously. But this last one is something that anybody can implement. If you don't want to do the loyalty program, you know, you're not limited by the number of people that sign up on this either. And Matt, tell them, what is my favorite one?
Online booking.
online booking. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. And there's benefits in addition to collecting all that information online booking. You know, we're taking that workload off of our staff. Yeah. They're not having to answer the phone. You're getting the entire amount of information from the golfers, and it's all done by them. So
more accurately,
You know, they're going to make
people
sure that they get their email
it now.
Yes, that's right. People are very used to online transactions anymore. Yeah. You know, and they like doing things online. You know, yeah. I'll be honest. There's a lot of times I will go and I'll book like OpenTable as opposed to calling the restaurant. And these are restaurants that I know and I know the people there. A lot of times I'll go and try to do it on OpenTable first, just because it's easier and it's simpler and it's just a more efficient way for
I'm
me.
I'm not
to do
calling
it.
Your restaurant. Yeah. Exactly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
There's so many options out there.
Yeah.
I'm just not, because I can book at a restaurant through one of those whatever online bookings. I can do it in 10 seconds and I'm done. I don't get put on hold. I don't have to mess around with it. I know it's done accurately. I put the information in, and then, you know, we all went out to eat that night, and I put your information into the online booking, and they send you the confirmation, and I don't have to.
Well, so how do we get more golfers book, or how does an operator get more golfers to book online?
Well, I think you have to. It comes back to what Danny said earlier. You know, even though your staff members are your, you know, they're your employees, you can still incentivize your golfers to go online, and that's what
some
you have
of
to
our
do.
Clients have even required it.
Absolutely. Well, they are. Yeah, they will not book a tee time now, and I've seen a lot of variations of that too. You know, they won't book they will not book a tee time over the phone except same day.
Yeah.
You know, you can call on that day, and that's the only one. If you're calling today to try to book something tomorrow, they're going to tell you have to go to the website. You know? And the real easy way to do it, and I say easy way, but you know, this is something that has been done in almost every industry that's been very successful at mass conversions to online transactions, and that is make the online transaction cheaper.
Yeah.
You know, take note of what I just said there. I didn't say discount the online transaction. Right. I just said make it cheaper.
Make it the cheaper rate.
You know, because you can go up on your in-person booking. You know, I mean, on your in-person, somebody walking in or on the phone, and you can tell them. And that's what the airlines did. I mean, years ago, the airlines went to, you can call on the phone and make a booking, but guess what? It's $25 more. They will tell you, say, $25 per ticket surcharge for you to book over the phone. And
or
they're happy to take
that right now.
You can hang up right now, and you can go to our website, and you can book and save that $25.
We have an operator that started this over a year ago. There is a 10% fee added to your in-person or on-the-phone booking.
I love it.
And they will tell you, when you call in, if you go online right now and book, you will save 10%.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah, and that's how you do it.
Guess what his online booking rate is.
What is his percentage? I'm curious on that.
90%
plus. Wow, yeah, yeah.
Because they'll tell you on the phone. So you're telling me you still want to book and pay the 10% extra instead of hanging up and booking online.
Right.
I will email you the link to our website right now, and you can save $7.
Yeah, and that's a great way of doing it.
Every time you play.
That's a great way of doing it. You know, another way, and I kind of like this. I'm not sure which one I like better. Why not just go up 10% on your in-person bookings? You know, and don't even tell them.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know, but just give them a 10% discount for your bookings online. And you can tell everybody you're always going to get a cheaper rate booking online. Yeah. You're always going to get a cheaper rate booking online. Make it more than 10%. You know, make it 15%.
Well, that's always our message.
Yeah, exactly.
Your lowest rate will always be on our website.
Right. Now, and we're really kind of bumping up against the time limit here, guys. So I want to wrap this one up. We've given our four what our favorite four methods are for growing your database. We've got another experiment, just so we'll kind of run this out there as a teaser, that we're putting in place in September, and that is, how do we get even more of the data collected through those online bookings? This is an experiment that we're doing. We're very excited about it. I think that it's going to be something really unique. I think it's going to be phenomenal in how the results are. But we're going to run it before we actually share it. And you know, if it works, we'll share it. If it doesn't work, we'll share it too. Either way, we're gonna share it with you. But we got something we're going to be doing on that. But in the meantime, you know, if you have anything that you would like to hear us talk about here on the Pitch Podcast, if you have any questions. questions about the, if you're a client of Pitch CRM, or even if you're not and you have any questions about the software, please reach out to us. We'd love to do a segment on whatever that might be. We've got a list of topics we're going to continue to produce the podcast segments on. But, you know, in the end, this is all about helping make you as a golf course operator more efficient and give you more tools to be able to do what you need to do to be successful at your golf course. So for now, I'm going to be saying goodbye. I'm Dale Ratcliffe with Codeology, and we've got here with us...
I'm Matt Wade with Pitch CRM Codeology.
Danny Ray.
All right. That's great, guys, and we'll see everybody out there next time.
Here we go.